We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Striking Gold, your 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Network. My name is Rob Lauder. I cover the 49ers for all of you fine folks on the other side of the speaker. Appreciate you tuning in. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate you giving me some of your time. Even if you are multitasking, doesn't matter. Still counts. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. If you don't know what Prize Picks is, it's daily fantasy sports made so easy. It's just you and the players. You're picking more. You're picking less. 2 to 6 player stat projecting. And you're watching the winnings roll in. So simpy. That could be a word. I'm not sure if it is. It's simple. It's easy. It's quick. All you got to do is go to prizepicks.com/gold, promo code gold, and they're going to match your first deposit up to $100. Again, that's prizepicks.com/gold, promo code gold. Give it a shot. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy. We will talk about it more later. Today, right now, we are going to talk about the 49ers 2024 draft class, which is complete. To sum it all up for you, we have, in the first round, pick 31, wide receiver Ricky Pearsall out of Florida. Round 2, pick 64, cornerback Renardo Green out of Florida State. Round 3, pick 86, tackle Dominic Puny out of Kansas. Round 4, pick 124, safety Malik. I think it's Malik. I don't think it's Malik. At least per John Lynch's pronunciation. Malik Mustafa out of Wake Forest. Round 4, pick 129, running back Isaac Garendo out of Louisville. Round 4, pick 135, wide receiver Jacob Cowing, Arizona. Round 6, pick 215, guard Jarrett Kingston out of USC. And round 7, pick 251, linebacker Tatum Bethune out of Florida State. A little drink of water there. First, before we lead off, I have to apologize. I don't know what gave me this impression. I mean, I know what gave me the impression. But last night's pod covering the second and third round, I hope it was okay. I hope it was listenable, if that's a word. But I was so damn tired. I was recording that thing at like 10 p.m. You know, I'd been helping put the baby down a couple times before that. And hopefully it was digestible to your ear and wasn't just a mess. But I was doing my absolute best. Like I said, I was going to bring you a podcast after every day of the draft. And I was feeling it. I'm feeling better now. I had a decent night's sleep. I even got the smallest little nap earlier today. So I'm feeling okay. But if I am stumbling, rumbling through my words, just know that it's with the best intentions, I promise. So what I initially, when I hopped on today, I'd kind of planned on just breaking down the picks in day three, but I said, nah, screw that. Let's break down the entire draft class in its entirety, especially now that I've had a chance to kind of digest the day one and day two picks. So I want to go through the entire draft class. I don't know how long this pod's going to take. I don't expect it'll be on the longer side, but and I'll just give you my thoughts on each player, how I think they're going to fit into the 49ers and kind of where they come from, how they got here type of deal. I took as many notes as I can without just being ridiculous. Eventually, it's one of those weird things not with a podcast is eventually you got to hit record. And like the notes you've taken have got to be it. So that's where we're at right now. I took a lot of notes. I've got a lot of tabs open. Trying to think if there was anything else I needed to bring up beforehand. Nope, let's jump into it. Again, going back to Thursday in the first round with pick 31, Florida wide receiver Ricky Pearsall, 6'1", 190. Dude's testing was off the charts. 4.4, 40-yard dash, a 1.5-second 10-yard split, 42-inch vertical leap, 10 foot 9 inches broad jump. He's the only receiver at the combine to run a sub 6'7" 3-cone. 5-year starter. What was the other school he did time at? It was Florida and Arizona State. Tells you how long he has been in college. In 2019, he was Brandon Ayuk's teammate. So the two actually know each other. Brandon Ayuk texted John Lynch the moment the 49ers made the pick, or shortly after, just saying, like, damn, hell of a pick. Actually said fire pick, probably used an emoji. I'll let you guys be the judge. When it comes to the way Ricky Pearsall plays football, routes, hands, and effort. Routes and hands and routes. Whichever one you find more important, he has it in spades. The dude brings the core elements of being a receiver he excels at. Route, hands, effort. He's got a good combination of size and speed and athleticism. I mean, 6'1", 190. He's not small. He's not terribly. He's not too skinny. And he just kind of puts it all together. His 6'7", 3-cone kind of speaks to his suddenness, and it shows in his routes. He's a solid punt and kick returner, and given the way, I'll probably mention this again later, given the way the new kick return rules are going to work, it's almost like returning a punt in the way the kick has to land, you know, it has to be returned unless you want to give the opposing team better starting position, and you're going to have blockers right in front of you, all lined up. It's a different breed, and the NFL hasn't even really figured out what type of players are going to make the best returners yet. But Ricky Pearsall definitely has the skills to do it. It wouldn't surprise me if him and a later draft pick that we will get to in a little bit are the two returners. But we'll see. It's an unproven play. We don't even know how those kickoff returns are going to work. But I love the way Pearsall plays football. Again, the qualities that you typically yearn for in a receiver are all combined in him. He knows how to play the game. He knows how to play the position. He plays with a lot of effort. He has no problem blocking. He just goes so hard play in and play out. Like, you can tell that football is everything to him. And that is kind of a theme for the 49ers and their draft picks this year. It's just guys that have played a ton of football. You can tell football is their life. And I think that 49ers are betting on that in terms of getting the most out of each one of their picks. Now, where it gets complicated is how Pearsall kind of fits into the equation. I still think he's going to instantly compete for an impact. I don't know how many targets he's able to get per game. You think about how many weapons the 49ers currently have on offense. Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Juszczyk, Juwan Jennings. They all catch passes. So is rookie Pearsall going to be able to step in there and earn a couple targets a game? It's hard to say. It seems doubtful. Obviously, injuries can play a huge role in that. Knock on wood for you. But no matter what happens, we've talked about it here quite a bit, Pearsall's role is probably going to increase dramatically in year two, depending on how the group shakes out. My prediction all along, you've heard it before, is the 49ers work things out with Brandon Ayuk and they part ways with Deebo Samuel after this year, just based on the fact that his contract continues to grow and there is a very, very valuable out in his contract. If the 49ers were to cut Deebo Samuel next year as a post June 1 release, they would save, did I say it was 20 million? I can head on over to Over the Cap while I'm talking to you guys just to confirm. And again, I'm not necessarily advocating that the 49ers, no, it's $17.5 million and they'd only be on the hook for $6.5 million. So it's a massive, I'm feeling for a team that is up against the salary cap. Those are just the conversations you have to have. So if my prediction panned out, the 49ers paid Brandon Ayuk, parted ways with Deebo Samuel, could work out an extension with Juwan Jennings. That might be something they try to do sooner than later. They can do it now. Just depends. But either way, Ricky Pearsall is going out there, likely in the slot, and just, to me, will have a massive impact in year two. Like, we're talking about a guy that I think could compete for targets, could compete for the same amount of targets as kind of the leaders on the offense, could compete with Christian McCaffrey for targets, could compete with Brandon Ayuk. Not necessarily, I don't mean compete as in, like, battle it out in training camp. I mean, get a similar number of targets as those guys. He's just, I can just see it now. Him and Brock Purdy are going to have a fabulous connection. Pearsall gets open, and he gets open quickly. He's quick, and he's got that's seen in his three cone. You can watch his highlights if you want to. If you can find his film, you can watch his film. But he gets open. He gets open. He was targeted like 140-something times last year. He was only able to catch like 70 of them. But that just shows you that he is a go-to guy. He is a dependable guy. And he wasn't dropping any of those, by the way. They just did not have good quarterback play at Florida. So I just can see a very clear road ahead for Pearsall and his impact in this offense. I mean, so can the 49ers. That's why they took him where they took him. I could just see Purdy just loving him on based on the fact that he has no problem going over the middle. He excels over the middle. He gets open quickly. Kind of like if I could equate it to anything, it's kind of like how Jimmy Garoppolo was targeting Trent Taylor early on. Like it was just an awesome connection, and I think it'll be the same, hopefully without the injuries. So big fan of the Pearsall pick. I mean, it's my feelings on the matter. It's just on ESPN, he was their 35th ranked player and they took him at 31. So if you're one of those like, yeah, it's a little bit of reach. Well, you know, does it matter? My biggest thing that I've said a couple times is if Pearsall is catching 60 passes a year, you know, starting year two or whenever that starts, no one's going to be like, after he makes this sick ass catch for a touchdown in the red zone, no one's going to be like, man, like yelling out in the crowd, I wish they would have drafted him at 36. Just doesn't matter. The fit looks good. And it helps the 49ers prepare for how things are likely going to change starting next year. Okay, let's bump down to cornerback Renardo Green out of Florida State. 6'1", 185, also ran a 4.4 40. Second team all CC, led the team with 13 pass breakups, started 13 games. 43 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, and half a sack. He had one interception against LSU to start the season, covering Malik Nabers, the number 5 overall pick this year. He's another 5-year starter along with Pearsall. He went up against the best in 2023 and held his own. His evaluation and his draft stock was all over the place. Mel Kiper said that Renardo Green was so far at the time one of the biggest reaches of the draft for the 49ers, which to me I kind of scoffed at, but because I'm like, dude, you had Washington tackle Roger Rosengarten going to the 49ers at 31 in your mock draft based on what you heard. And he didn't end up going till 62 to the Ravens, one pick before the 49ers, mind you. So it doesn't, I'm not saying that the 49ers didn't like him and weren't going to go after him. But it, to me, if like, I feel like these scouts in that way, they love to talk about when a team reaches, but they never talk about when a team takes a player, like they call it a value pick. When a team is getting a player that they had graded much earlier, to me, it's like an inverse, like, oh, you thought this player was the 30th best player. Oh, well, he went 75th. So is that on you? Because if you're going to give teams shit for reaching, then you've got to give yourself shit for failing to reach. You know what I mean? On the other guys. It's just, it's a fickle group of people that love to point out when something doesn't go per their board. But only when it's a reach. If a player falls and a team gets him much later, they're like, oh, man, what a great value pick. And it's like, eh, well, it looks like you overvalued him. You know, it goes both ways. Jennifer Lee Chan had some awesome quotes from Renardo Green. I read them yesterday. Definitely worth reading again. Again, this is Jennifer Lee Chan from NBC Sports Bay Area said, or quoted, Green is saying, in the NFL draft, I bet on myself. I always felt I was one of the top corners in this year's draft because I did what a lot of others can't. I went against the number 2 pick, the number 6 pick, the Heisman winner, and the receiver that broke LSU records. I proved it week in and week out, pressing them. That's one of the hardest things you can do in football is press. I was pressing all of them with no safety help over the top, me and him, one-on-one. And that's just cool, man. That's just a great mentality to have. And that is how he plays. He is a press corner. He might be the best press corner in the draft. And hopefully the 49ers are going to let him play that way. 49ers do a lot of zone, you know, so you're hoping now they are switching things up. They've got new defensive coordinator, Nick Sorensen. They brought in, Brandon Staley from the Chargers. Maybe they're going to switch up the way they play defense a little bit. John Lynch did talk about how the 49ers needed to evolve a little bit. They need to evolve every year. So maybe they're going to give Green a chance to press a little. He was flagged a lot in college. I think he had like 11 penalties last season. I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot. So he's going to need to polish it up. But in the end, this is a classic, like, the way he plays football is why the 49ers wanted him. And sure, he had a ton of success and he played against some good. I mean, on his one interception of the year, it was against LSU. He was covering Malik Neighbors, had him absolutely strapped. Neighbors fell down. Green didn't, caught the ball that was meant for Neighbors and took it back. I don't think he took it to the house, but almost. You can just tell that he plays football with a ton of intensity and a lot of fire. And I think the 49ers like that in him. To play corner, you have to be that type of person, man. It's such a difficult job. And it looks like he's up to the task of, like he said, he wants to press everybody. And the only thing we don't know. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to clear my throat. Okay. The only thing we don't know is how he's going to fit into the 49ers defense. John Lynch said that they like him at nickel, but he seemed like he was best along the outside. I think it all depends on Diamador Lenore and where he ends up playing. Wherever Diamador Lenore ends up starting, Green's going to compete in the other role. We know Charvarius Ward is going to have one side locked down. Are they going to put Demo on the outside? Are they going to put him on the inside? Kyle Shanahan mentioned, you know, it depends. He's like, if you're nickel guy is your best outside guy, then it, you know, you have some flexibility there. But if your nickel guy is your best nickel, then he's going to play nickel. You know, now is Diamador Lenore going, if let's say there isn't a nickel on the field, is Diamador Lenore going to play opposite Ward? And then when they need a nickel, he's going to slide in and another corner's go in. That's a very likely scenario. And if that's the case, then Green is going to have his work cut out for him in terms of competition. I wrote down the names back here. Let me see if I've still got it here. Yeah, okay. So you've got the 49ers added free agent Isaac Yiadom. They added Rocky Sin. They've got Darrell Luter Jr. And Avery Thomas is still back there. All of those guys are likely going to be competing for an outside role. And if Renardo Green is going to earn a starting role, he's going to have to beat some talented players. I think that Isaac Yiadom might have the edge on the outside, but again, this all hinges on what they're going to do with Yamdor Lenore. If Lenore is going to play on the inside, then that's where he's going to play. He's the second best corner on the 49ers. He's got a ton of momentum, and that's kind of going to determine where Green, if he's going to see the field as a rookie, that's going to determine kind of where he sees it. He could be a starter week one if he truly rises above that competition, but where he starts is all going to depend on where the 49ers want Lenore. In the third round with pick 86, they went off Kansas offensive lineman Dominic Puni, 6'5", 315. He's actually a six-year starter if you include the COVID year. He's got experience at left tackle, left guard, right tackle. One of three college tackles to not allow a single sack in at least 700 snaps. So that's solid. I don't think the 49ers see him. I think he was announced as a guard. I don't think the 49ers see him as a tackle, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if the 49ers gave him a shot there. And he excelled. He obviously is a solid tackle. It's just kind of how they project based on arm length. There's just this, I mean, the 49ers are bringing back all five starters on the offensive line. But that doesn't mean that all five of the starters they brought back are going to start again this year. There could be a – what's cool about Puni is he could compete at right tackle. He could compete at right guard. Shit, he can even compete at center. And he can compete at left guard. No one's competing with Trent Williams at left tackle. But I don't think any of those guys are good enough. Maybe – now, John Feliciano last year was good enough to kind of say, hey, you're the man for now. It's your job until you lose it. But whether it's Colton McKivitz or Jake Brendel or Aaron Banks, none of them were good enough to just label them as untouchable. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Puni was able to give one of them a run for their money. I'm not going to say unseat him just yet because there's something to be said about developing as a unit, cohesion, being able to return the same guys over and over. That does a lot for groups. Stability and their ability to play together. The more group plays together, the less you have problems like Spencer Burford coming in to replace John Feliciano and immediately letting one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL go unblocked. That stuff happens less and less when you play together. So for Dominic to step in and unseat somebody, it would take a really good performance on his part, but it would not surprise me at all. Again, those names that I listed, none of them have been good enough to where you're just like, oh no, they're good. He'll back up for now. It'll be tough to break through, but it's possible at multiple spots. Again, do the 49ers want to see how he does against McKivitz at right tackle? Do they want to see if he can give Feliciano a run for his money? Aaron Banks, even Brendel, if they think Puni could be a center. In the end, he's probably likely just like the primary backup for this year and projects to a starting spot in 2025, which is what they have to do. We talked about it. Aaron Banks last year of his deal, Jake Brendel, not the last year, but could easily be upgraded on. John Feliciano signed to a 1-year deal. So it's a good pick. It's a good pick. And I think it's where the 49ers need to start investing some of their draft capital almost every year. And I mean, almost every year it could be, probably within the first four rounds, too. They need to build solid depth. It won't be long before every single member of that offensive line is different than what we have now. Okay, before we get into the fourth round, we gotta get a quick word in support of our friends from Prize Picks. Daily Fantasy Sports, made so easy. Prize Picks is rolling with Striking Gold again for the 2024 season. And look, it's just you and the numbers. There's no pros. There's no sharks. There's not thousands of other players. You're picking more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, watching the winnings roll in. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season has just added a whole new layer of fun that I had never experienced while watching the NFL. And it's not just the NFL. They've got baseball, they've got hockey, they've got basketball, they've got soccer. They've even got like professional gaming. Their wings are expanding. What I like best about Prize Picks, y'all have heard me say it many times, it's just simple. You get on the website, it works, it's easy to navigate. You click a couple buttons and your entry is set in like less than 60 seconds. It really is that easy. Go to prizepicks.com/gold and use the promo code gold for a first deposit match of up to $100. So if you put in $100, if you're feeling feisty, you're going to have $200 in your account thanks to Prize Picks. Again, that's prizepicks.com/gold, promo code gold. Daily fantasy sports made easy. All right, so on our 2024 draft class recap, we are officially into day three. And their first pick of the day was safety Malik Mustafa from Wake Forest University. 5'10", 210 pounds, ran a 4.5 40. He's built like a Greek god. He's like a smaller Nick Bosa, if you will. Just absolutely jacked. In last season, he was second team all ACC, started 12 games, 80 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, an interception, and 2 pass breakups. Another 4-year starter. The dude is high motor, high effort, high energy, absolutely loves football. Again, every single player the 49ers have picked so far could fit into those monikers. High motor, high effort, high energy, loves football. He's in extremely good shape, like I said. He says he likes to play coming downhill with speed and tenacity. He plays with fire. He was wearing a shirt in his post-draft meeting with the media that said Mustafa, as if it was a word in the dictionary. And underneath it in the definition, and this could actually be the definition of the word Mustafa, it said chosen, selected, appointed, and preferred among many. I thought that was super cool. You see a lot of draft shirts, and I thought that one was classy and clever. The guy is versatile. He can play all over the secondary. He can play both safety spots. He could play a nickel role if you needed him to in a pinch. He could even play like a hybrid linebacker role. The dude is jacked. Again, 5'10", 210. You need him to come down and hit somebody. He's going to come down and hit him. Let's take a look and see what Dane Brugler said about Malik Mustafa. He had him with a third-round grade. 49ers selected him in the fourth round. ESPN had them 149th on their big board. Brugler said, overall, Mustafa doesn't have the tape of an instinctive ball hawk. That's not his game. But he is a passionate competitor with outstanding range versus the run and disciplined movements in coverage. With a skill set similar to Jordan Whitehead, he should shine on special teams coverages in the NFL and will push for defensive snaps early in his career. Now, one thing I forgot. Oh, no, I just clicked out of that. Dang it. I'm using that. Hold on. I now have to go find my scouting notes that I gathered up. I think I found them right there. Okay. Not an emergency. We're back. What was I going to say? I forgot. Well, okay. So the fit. Why this pick? Talanoa Hufanga is coming off a season-ending injury. He should be ready for basically the entire offseason program. He should be ready for training camp. But even if he is he going to be the same Talanoa Hufanga we last saw? And even if he is, he's also on the last year of his deal. So adding Malik Mustafa gives the 49ers a player that can compete for a starting role. He can compete for maybe being put in on defense during some specific wrinkles, even as a rookie. But that the chance of him being able to compete for a starting role after this year increases dramatically. And that's kind of a theme with the 49ers right now. And it's a smart theme given how solid this roster is. Ricky Pearsall, Renardo Green, Dominic Puni, Malik Mustafa, all of them seem like players that are destined or have a very strong chance of having a starting role in 2025. So many of the 49ers starters are coming back that it would be weird if they were drafting all these players and they were instantly considered starters. draft picks being instant starters, unless you're picking in like the top 10, is not necessarily a good thing for a roster. It tells you your roster is missing starters for a rookie to be automatically earmarked into a starting role. And that's not where the 49ers are right now. This is also, all these draft picks are super solid depth that if something were to happen to any player, any one of these players that we've lifted so far would be able to come in and ideally provide a pretty solid replacement at whatever position we're talking about. So far through the first four picks, they all make a lot of sense for the 49ers. And I think they have some good logic tailored to their approach so far. In round four, John Lynch could only keep Kyle Shanahan contained for four rounds. In the past, it's been three rounds before Kyle Shanahan lost his shit and had to draft a running back. This year, they learned their lesson and they waited till the fourth round. Now, I'm being mostly sarcastic, but with five picks after they took Malik Mustafa, the 49ers traded back into the fourth round. They used both of their fifth rounders to turn them into a fourth rounder. They pick again six picks later at 135. Most of the time when you're trading up, you're taking that pick plus a later pick and you're using them to move up. Well, the 49ers didn't use 135 for this trade. They just took their two fifth rounders and turned them into a fourth rounder, trading up with the Jets. Oh, you know, and one thing I forgot to mention too, when the 49ers selected Dominic Puni, they traded up with the Eagles and dropped their middle fourth round pick. They've always had three fourth round picks, but they dropped one to trade up with the Eagles select Puni. And then they created another fourth round pick with their two fifth rounders. It's kind of always been the consensus is this was a very top heavy draft. The 49ers talked about that. John Lynch said they had 80 something players that they thought were draftable that went back to college. So it made sense that the 49ers were trying to take more swings within the first like four rounds. And with that pick at 129, they took Louisville running back Isaac Garendo. The dude has some wow to him. I can't remember. I should have made note of who tweeted this, but I think he had the best athletic testing ever for a running back. He ran a 4.340 at 6 foot, 220 pounds. Like every single, his athlete score on the NFL's website is a 99. He's the first ranked running back in terms of his athleticism score. He ran a 4.3. He had a 1.55 10 yard split, a 41 and a half vertical jump, 10 foot, 9 inches broad jump, a 6.93 cone and a 4.15 20 yard shot. Like the dude is just an absolute freak athlete. You can tell the 49ers liked him because they took two of their coveted fifth round picks and turned them into a fourth round pick to select Garendo. Kyle Shanahan was probably jumping up and down on a table, screaming with his fingers in his ears, pitching a fit, saying, "It's time for me to draft my running back." And not in Kyle Shanahan's defense, but the 49ers have struggled to draft a successful running back. Undrafted free agents, they're pretty good at. But Joe Williams, they traded up for him. Trey Sermon, they traded up for him. Ty Davis Price, Elijah Mitchell was okay. You know, obviously that hasn't necessarily panned out, but for a while he was pretty hot. So the 49ers are not doing great. They do not have a great batting average when it comes to running backs in the third round. Is Isaac Garendo going to fall right into that? Let's hope not. Last year, he played in all 14 games. He had 132 carries for 810 yards at 6.1 yards a pop. He had 11 touchdowns. He also is a good receiver out of the backfield. Caught 22 catches for 234 yards, averaged 10.6 yards a catch. Also brings some special team ability. He had 11 kick returns for 211 yards. That's 19.2 yards a kick return. That's not bad. In the previous year in Wisconsin, he was an honorable mention All Big Ten kick returner. He played in 12 games. He had 64 carries for 385 yards, kind of a backup running back, reserve running back. Still averaged 6 yards a carry, had 5 rushing touchdowns. caught 17 passes for 115 yards and then one touchdown there. And he also averaged 24 yards per kick return, 19 returns for 454 yards. So when I mentioned earlier that Ricky Pearsall could be on the short list to return kicks, it would not surprise me if Isaac Guerrero was on the other side. You have to have two returners, so it wouldn't surprise me if they were Ricky Pearsall and Isaac Guerrero. This dude, if he gets a crease, it's over. It's a touchdown. He's not very shifty. He's got a little wiggle to him, but he's not really shifty. He can't change directions super quick. He reminded me of Raheem Mostert when Raheem Mostert was first getting his now Raheem's really evolved as a running back. He's obviously developed into one of the better running backs in the NFL. Might have always been that way. But when he first came onto the scene with the 49ers, he was kind of the way he would destroy people was he would have that one cut and bam, he was so fast. And this guy is just as or almost as fast as Raheem. And he reminds me of that. Again, not super shifty, but once he finds his crease, he is gone. A lot like Mostert's game. Depends on, I mean, Elijah Mitchell, J.P. Mason, they're both headed for free agency next year. If you're seeing a theme. Guerrero is good enough to compete for that running back two role now. Elijah Mitchell struggles with injuries. I like J.P. Mason a lot, but apparently, you know, not apparently, there has to be some, could be in pass protection. Oh, there's another thing. Isaac Guerrero, very good in pass protection. He's a very well-rounded running back. Again, doesn't have like the super twitchy change of direction ability like, say, Christian McCaffrey has, but he's good in pass protection. He's a good pass catcher. And if he gets a crease, his speed is home run. He is gone. And at 6'2", 220, man, like that's different. That's different. And again, Mitchell and Mason are both headed for free agency. And I could easily see Guerrero jumping above them on the depth chart. We'll see. They've both been on the team for a while, so that's not necessarily something that's just going to be handed to him. But pretty interesting pick, man. Search his name on Twitter, get on YouTube. The dude scores touchdowns like a madman. Like, he really is a pretty impressive. We'll see if it works out. You know, I was watching a video that talked about he's a little slow to hit the hole. Sometimes he can be a little hesitant or indecisive. You know, that obviously for him to go in the fourth round with these types of numbers, there's some things he's going to need to work on. We'll see if he works on them. Six picks later in the fourth round at 135, the 49ers took wide receiver Jacob Cowing out of Arizona. 5'8", 170, small guy, but ran a 4.38 40. He led the school with 13 receiving touchdowns, tied for the team lead with 90 catches, 848 yards, and 9.4 yards a catch. Played in all 13 games. He caught at least one pass in his last 57 games. That's pretty sweet. The year before that, he led the team with 85 catches for 1,034 yards, 12.2 yards per, and 7 touchdowns, started 12 games. The 49ers, John Lynch said in their press conference afterwards that they brought in a corner for their top 30 visits. Probably only a few corners they brought in. And then you could probably very easily break down which one of those corners played against Cowing in Arizona. But that corner said that Jacob Cowing was the toughest receiver he faced all year. And the 49ers really took note of that. He has similar traits to Ricky Pearsall, not in size, but they both are open, 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 open. Watch their highlights, watch their tape. Every time they're throwing the ball, open, open, open. I was watching them, you know, I was just watching a quick highlight, and every one of them, open. He's wide open. Oh, he's open. Open, open. He is a route technician. He runs great routes. Obviously has tons of speed and quickness. He also is good in the punt return game. He makes up for his size with effort and mentality. Kyle Shanahan said it after the press conference. Like, a guy that small is not going to make it this far without just having the mentality of, you know, the basically the Napoleon complex. A little an interesting pick based on the fact that kind of him and Ricky Pearsall kind of tailor-made for the slot. Pearsall has a higher chance to maybe work the outside a little bit, but I thought that Pearsall was tailor-made for the slot, and the 49ers have needed a good slot receiver or a slot receiver that could get open quickly, and Cowing is the same. But again, this receiving group could look a lot different next year. If they lose both Jennings and Samuel, then maybe Pearsall and Cowing just step right in. And we'll see. We'll see. He's an intriguing receiver, runs great routes, struggles with drops at times. You know, he's got small hands, not quite Burger King hands, but smaller hands, but very, very solid receiver, solid routes, super quick, can beat you deep, can get open underneath, loves going over the middle, has no problem with any of that. So he fits right into what the 49ers like at receiver. I'm just not quite sure how he's going to fit into the lineup, especially if Pearsall is going to be kind of earmarked for slot duties. We'll see. Sometimes it's not that complicated, and you just want good players on your roster. Again, they traded both of their fifth rounders, so now we're jumping to the sixth round, pick 215, offensive lineman Jarrett Kingston, 6'4", 305 out of USC. Very athletic. The third most athletic guard in the combine. He's got experience at tackle, but he knows, based on his interview afterwards, that he's an interior guy in the NFL. He believes he can play all three spots, both guards and center. He's just a development. It's the sixth round, so you're looking at a developmental option with an eye towards the future. Again, Banks headed for free agency. Feliciano headed for free agency. He was only signed to a one-year deal. So somebody like Jarrett Kingston, if things work out, he could compete for a starting role next year along with Puni. We'll see. We'll see. When you're getting to the end of the draft, picking players like Jarrett Kingston, like the third most athletic guard at the combine, is smart. That's what you want to find, somebody that has the ability to surprise you. In the seventh round, pick 251, linebacker Tatum Bethune out of Florida State. I told you they were going to draft a guy from their top 30 visits. There you go. They only got one. Or maybe they did Jacob Cowing. I know we've talked about that name before. Let me make sure. I am heading over to Twitter right now to Steph49K's visit tracker, at Steph49K. Such a hero for creating this. Let's see. I'm scrolling down. They did. Jacob Cowing was also a top 30 visit, as was Bethune, linebacker we're talking about right now. So, like I said, now they weren't quite as active. No, excuse me. Okay. Dominic Puni, top 30 visit. Okay. Tatum Bethune, top 30 visit. Jacob Cowing, top 30 visit. So, again, I mean, I'm not patting myself on the back. I told you that the 49ers were going to draft guys from their top 30 visits. That's why we did that top 30 mock draft. But it's cool to see that they drafted three guys from their top 30. Where are we here? I'm going back to my notes. There we go. He's another four-year starter. In 2023, he had 71 tackles, three pass breakups, and interception. In his career, he had 340 tackles, nine pass breakups, 7.5 sacks, four interceptions. Came from UCF, had 108 tackles his junior year. He just adds depth to a group that could be tested in 24. Dre Greenlaw's coming off that Super Bowl Achilles tear. Not an Achilles tail. It's not a story. They've got veteran Devondre Campbell, who seems kind of like to be the one that'll step up next to Dre Greenlaw. Is Demetrius Flanagan Fowles going to be the third linebacker? They've also got their two younger linebackers, D Winners and Jalen Graham. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, Tatum Bethune, as a seventh rounder, he's in no way guaranteed a roster spot, but he comes into a linebacker group that needs that depth just based on where they're sitting with Greenlaw. So it'll be interesting to see if he can carve out a bigger role. The chance is there. It may not be good, as most late round picks and undrafted free agents' chances are, but he might be able to carve out a bigger role. Dane Brugler said, overall, Bethune is a fast flow linebacker who plays with intent and coverage upside, but his aggressive nature will be used against him at the NFL level. He projects as an NFL backup and special teamer. I forgot to read Kingston's report from Brugger. Kingston has athletic tools to be a project for an NFL offensive line coach. The 49ers happen to have one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL, and Chris Forster. Jacob Cowing, Dan Brugler said, overall, Cowing is limited in areas by his size, smaller catch radius, average play strength, but he can separate vertically and specialize in getting open underneath. He projects as a dependable slot option and can become a regular NFL starter with some route pacing tweaks. Here's what he had to say about Isaac Guerrero. I should have been going to this as I read it, but I forgot. I'm sorry. Guerrero doesn't have an impressive body of work, but his build, explosiveness, and ability on passing downs, blocking, and receiving suggests his NFL resume will far outshine what he did in college if he can stay healthy. Along with competing on special teams, he projects best in a one-cut outside zone scheme, Kyle Shanahan, that will give him runways to show off his speed. And yeah, then now we're up to Malik Mustafa. So I'm caught up with Dane Brugler's scouting reports. Dane Brugler of The Athletic writes The Beast, one of the biggest and coolest scouting reports of the year. Pre-FF gave the 49ers draft class a B+. I wanted to kind of read their little takes on everything too. I don't want to just bore you with it at this point. I should have been spreading them out. I had some stuff I wanted to read. I get too excited. I forget it. But Pro Football Focus put out an article where they were grading all the drafts. Relatively positive things to say about every draft pick. Again, B+ is a solid grade. That's probably right around where I would have put it. That RAS score that you've seen on Twitter, the relative athlete score. I can't remember his name. Let me see. Did I tweet it? Oh, his name? No. I'm trying to find his name. 49ers, and anyways, the 49ers ended up with the 11th highest relative athlete score draft class. So the 49ers were definitely targeting athletes. What they do is they combine the size, speed, strength, all the testing numbers, and they basically create a score for every player. Jarrett Kingston, the offensive, their sixth round offensive guard, super high, like a 9.9 out of 10 score. There's also this Josh Norris tweet that I want to mention to you guys. He tweeted, since 2010, just 28 offensive linemen recorded a 4.47 short shuttle or better at the combine. Of those 28, 24 were drafted. Those 24 went on to start 84% of their NFL games. It's a cheat code, which is hilarious. And the 49ers, Jake Brendel apparently fits into that. And of course, like we just talked about, Jarrett Kingston fits into that as well. So maybe, you know, maybe we are undervaluing him. He had a 4.47 short shuttle, which is exactly the threshold that Josh Norris tweeted about. And this tweet was written in February of 23. So the 49ers sixth round offensive guard meets the threshold in which, again, only 28 of them recorded that 4.47 short shuttle time. 24 were drafted, and every single one of those 24 went on to start 84% of their NFL games. So by that logic, hopefully the 49ers aren't breaking the chain. They now have one of those guards. So Jarrett Kingston should become a starter. No excuses. Jake Brendel is on that list. Let me see if I know any of the other names. Jason Kelce. I'm trying to see if the 49ers have any more of these. Nope. But it's all recognizable names as that we know as starters. Okay. Oh, undrafted free agents. At the time when I press record, so far the 49ers has added as undrafted free agents, Tariq Owens, Terrell Owens' son, came to their local pro day. They added Michigan center Drake Nugent, Missouri running back Cody Schrader. Now, let me go find him real quick, because Will Blackman, who I love on Twitter, former NFL DB, he said, man, he went to the perfect place, great kid, and knows how to earn it. The dude had Cody Schrader had 1,627 yards and 14 touchdowns last season. And the 49ers just added him as an undrafted free agent running back. We know how the 49ers love their undrafted free agent running backs. Is that the next one? Cody Schrader? Write it down. Write it down. They also added Wisconsin quarterback. I just accidentally scrolled a lot. Wisconsin quarterback Tanner Mordecai and Furman tight end Mason Pline. And I also think Steph49K, who I was just mentioning with the report earlier, I think she also interviewed him leading up to the season. So again, go to Steph Sanchez's Twitter at Steph49K, excuse me, X profile, whatever you want to call it. But so what do you think? What do you think of the draft class? I mean, I know I can't hear you, but you could always just talk back to the speaker like we're having a conversation. Did you like it? Are you underwhelmed? Are you right in the middle? Are you impressed? Overall, I think it's a good draft class. My big thing going into this draft class was draft players that have a clear path towards a starting role. Ricky Pearsall, Renardo Green, Dominic Pooney, Malik Mustafa, Isaac Garendo. And I gotta include Jarrett Kingston now. All have a relatively clear path to a starting role. And again, I have to include Kingston because of that random statistic. He's on nearly guaranteed to become a starter. That's just the way it is. Again, their seventh round pick, linebacker Tatum Bethune. He's going to have to work for his role. He's going to have to work for a roster spot. Wide receiver Jacob Cowing definitely has starting caliber traits. I'm just not sure when he's going to get his opportunity and how he's going to get it. I included Isaac Garendo when I listed out those players just because he wouldn't technically be a starter with Christian McCaffrey there, but I do see a pathway to him getting significant snaps. And, you know, you want multiple running backs. And everybody else, I'm pretty solid draft for the 49ers. And again, they're in a position now where they have to hit on their picks. They have to hit on a majority of their picks. They're not going to hit on all of them. But when you're against the salary cap, you have to do a good job drafting to alleviate high-priced players and add cost-controlled players. And I think the 49ers did a good job of doing that. I must say thank you to everybody for just tagging along in our NFL draft coverage here at Striking Gold. I mean, we had multiple guests on. We had Chris Biederman, Kyle Madsen, Kyle Posey, John Chapman, Brad Graham, Matt Barrows. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I kind of like just decided, I was like, you know what? It's draft season. Let's start having some damn guests on. And I am hopefully going to have guests on at a much higher rate. I hope you enjoy listening to just me talk, but I also hope that you enjoy when I have guests on. You know, we're always evolving, always improving, and I hope you guys are enjoying it. If you're still listening, you've already given me the ultimate form of support, but if you want to give me a little bit more, go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. I always leave the option open if you want to leave like a mailbag comment in the review, something that you want me to talk about or get my thoughts on, I will read it on the pod. So again, 5-star reviews on whatever platform you're listening to this in. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. PrizePicks.com/gold, promo code gold. Check them out. That's going to let them know that Striking Gold sent you. I'm not exactly sure when we're going to be back on. It's Saturday. I normally record on Sunday, so I might not record tomorrow. I might wait until Monday, maybe get another guest on, just get some more thoughts on the draft class, see how things pan out. But then we'll get back into the normal group. Obviously, things in the NFL draft are just a little crazy, but appreciate you guys. For another episode, I'm Rob. This is Striking Gold. We're signing.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.